As Len mentioned this morning in our Preaching Life in Lent, we begin our LinkedIn series that pairs with adult education and our small groups, reading Luke backwards. Professor Barreto's class this morning in the assembly room is studying the same text that I am now going to preach. And audio for that class will be available on the website this week. We begin this first Sunday of Lent in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And verse 26, Luke 23 and verse 26. And I will read all the way through verse 49. Hear the word of God. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. Spectacle. All the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle. All the crowds gathered outside the city gates at the place called the Skull. Maybe it was called the Skull because it was a barren, craggy, rocky, bald head-like notable hill always in view from the city. Maybe it was called the Skull because the ground was littered with skulls and bones from all the public executions held there. A place where everyone knew, everyone came, everyone gathered for the spectacle of death, the place that is called the skull. Everyone knew where it was, just like everyone in town knew where the lynching tree was. Spectacle. The crowd saw it all, the march, the torture, the mockery, the scoffing, the derision, the humiliation, degradation, dehumanization, the violence and the death. All the crowd saw every bit of it, the spectacle. Some of them would have been in the crowd shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." They would have heard Pilate say, What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will have him flogged and then release him. But all the crowds, the mob, they kept demanding Jesus be crucified. And according to Luke, the loudest voices carried the day. And instead of releasing Jesus, Pilate released Barabbas, the one the gospel writer says was put in prison for insurrection and murder. Pilate handed over a man to be killed that he knew was innocent. There among all the crowds, some must have heard one of the others suffering and dying on the cross say, "This man has done nothing wrong," referring to Jesus. And after Jesus breathed his last there at the cross, some must have heard the centurion say, "Certainly this man was innocent." What Luke called a spectacle. An innocent man being brutally murdered by the powers and principalities of authority and empire in the world, as all the crowds who had gathered there saw what had taken place. When you begin reading Luke at the cross, when you begin Lent at the cross, when you begin a sermon at the cross, you can't help but you sort of have to see the cross for what it was, spectacle. I grew up singing about the cross. I grew up hearing a lot about a disciple of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus and taking up his cross. I was taught to lay my burdens down at the foot of the cross and to ponder Christ's suffering on the cross for my sins and the sins of the world. But the spectacle of it all, not so much. I have a database of all of the sermons I've preached from this pulpit in 21 years. Trust me, I have nothing to do with it. Somebody else does it for me. But I can search my sermons by date, by title, which I can never remember, or by text, scripture lesson. You will remember that Good Friday services at Nassau do not include a sermon. We read the Passion story. And we don't follow the tradition of several sermons and a three-hour service on the seven last words of Christ. But I was still surprised, frankly a bit embarrassed, when I checked the database this week. I've never preached a sermon at Nassau Church on the text of crucifixion. I've never preached a sermon about the cross. When you begin reading Luke at the cross, when you begin Lent at the cross, when you begin a sermon at the cross, you can't help but you sort of have to see it for what it was. A spectacle of evil and violence, sparked by threatened authority, fueled by ruthless power, and seductively attractive to masses of people who couldn't look away. See the cross for what it was. Humanity's spectacle. A timeless spectacle of the power of sin and evil. When all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle, Luke writes, saw what had taken place, they returned to their home, beating their breasts. The phrase, beating their breasts, connotes lament and weeping. It is as if Luke implies that everyone in those crowds left in grief, horrified at having watched what took place. All the crowds? everyone in the crowd? I'm not convinced, Luke. Too many people thump their chest in victory or defiance or self-congratulations. No, Luke, I don't think everybody. Walking home from the place called the Skull was filled with lament and regret. Human history and our own eyes won't let us completely believe that it was everyone. But the women who had followed him from Galilee, who stood at a distance watching as the mobs went home, the women are the very personification of the grief and lament caused by that spectacle. These are the women who were following him along the way of the cross. The ones in the crowd following him as Simon of Cyrene was seized and given the cross beam to carry. The women were beating their breasts and wailing for him. Tradition and the presumption of the gospel narratives would place Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the crowd. Mary, who bore for us a Savior to show God's love aright when half spent was the night. Mary, who bore a child and wrapped her infant child in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. She laid him in a manger, the little Lord Jesus who laid down his sweet head. Mary and the other women from Galilee standing at a distance in grief as the crowds turned away from the spectacle that her son was left on the cross with his sweet head hanging in death. Earlier, according to Luke, along the way, Jesus turned to these women and spoke the puzzling words full of apocalyptic imagery in a quote from the prophet Hosea. And like anyone who attended one of our small group conversations this week talking about this passage, I find myself struggling to wrap my head around Jesus' words here. It could have something to do with Luke's attempt to take the spectacle of the crucifixion to apocalyptic levels. Maybe it has something to do with connecting the violence perpetrated upon Jesus with the violence and death that came with the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Roman Empire. But maybe you and I should worry less about wrapping our heads around Jesus' words and worry more about wrapping our hearts around Jesus and his words. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The Savior of the world, speaking words of warning and words of solidarity to every mother in every time and place who has lost a child to an unjust death. Because when you begin reading Luke at the cross, you will now never gloss over or even forget what the old man Simeon said to Mary and Joseph way back in the second chapter of Luke as he took the child Jesus in his arms. You won't gloss over again. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. A mother's sword of grief that pierces her soul in a son's unjust death. No reader of Luke will ever gloss over or forget this last word of Jesus, one of the last words of Jesus from the cross either. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The eye and the ear and the attention of, for all kinds of reasons, leans toward paradise. The word paradise, which occurs nowhere else in the Gospel of Luke. But you know Luke is going to want the reader to ponder the word today. Today does occur all through Luke, and sometimes in a pretty significant way. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Today, salvation has come to this house, Zacchaeus, and today. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's what Jesus said after unrolling the scroll in the temple and reading from Isaiah, good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, the oppressed go free. Today, today, I will be with you in paradise. Jesus, the Gospel of Luke, and a theology of today. Jesus and his cross, the whole horrible spectacle of it all. Today. When you begin reading Luke at the cross, when you begin Lent at the cross, when you begin a sermon on the cross, it is to stand at the foot of the cross today and weep. It is to look around the world today and see yet again and again examples of humanity's timeless spectacle. Even more, to see the very face of Jesus, his sweet head hanging in death, and the faces of the victims of unrelenting spectacles of the power of sin and evil. Jesus' death was not the first nor the last unjust death. And Mary has never been alone in her grief. To begin at the cross is to affirm the very presence of the Savior's dying love for this very world. Yes, this world, our world, 2022, and all that it is, all that there is in the world, for God so loves the world. By the way, all those soldiers, Ukrainian and Russian soldiers dying, all the Ukrainian men, women, and children dying amid the atrocity, the spectacle of war, they all have a mother grieving the unjust death of a child. Johanny Rosario Richards was a Marine killed by a bomb in Kabul, along with 12 other members of the United States military as the forces left Afghanistan. Johanny's mother's name is Kulasa. Brian Sicknick is the police officer who died just hours after defending the Capitol on January 6th of last year. His mother's name is Gladys. Ahmaud Arbery's mother's name is Wanda. Breonna Taylor's mother's name is Tamika. Katie Meyer, the young woman who was the goalie on the Stanford women's soccer team who tragically took her own life on campus last week, Katie's mother's name is Gina. Michael Brown's mother is Leslie. Trayvon Martin's mother is Sabrina. A mother's grief and a child's unjust death. No, Mary was never going to be alone. At the foot of the cross and at the table of the Lord's Supper today, weeping yet clinging to Christ's promise, I will be with you always. Yes, in every time, until the end of the age, but more, maybe even more, in every place. In every place. Every place. Amen.